Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hi, my name is Aluna Michaels. I am an esoteric astrologer, and welcome to my first show of Astrology for Your Soul. Welcome, and thanks for tuning in with me today. What I'd first like to start out with is talking about what is esoteric astrology, and then give you an overview of what I'm going to cover in the hour. So if you want to skip to a certain point of what I'm talking about, you'll know maybe where that is roughly in the show if you're listening on archives. Okay, so how, and I should just tell you a little bit about myself. My mother is also an astrologer. I grew up with a lot of very famous astrologers my mother was learning from in Boston, Massachusetts, and in Gloucester, Massachusetts, where I grew up, where just a lot of astrologers seemed to congregate, and that was in the late 60s, early 70s. And so I grew up knowing astrology as kind of a second language, maybe. And then I just kept pressing forward in my studying of astrology and my interest in astrology from, I'd say, you know, kind of basic astrology, learning all that, to more psychological, how astrology is a tool for psychological development, and then even more into spiritual development with evolutionary astrology and esoteric astrology. How the esoteric differs, because I also, you know, your life is a spiritual process. So the chart is going to, when we do look at people's charts, we're looking at basic things maybe that are happening to them, but from a different viewpoint. You know, how are your relationships a mirror of your soul's journey? Where have you come from with these people? Where are you going? How is your job helping you grow spiritually? What's that all about? So we're looking at, you know, basic things. It's not super mysterious, but a deeper meaning behind it. And esoteric astrology, as well as evolutionary, and they're kind of linked, talk about our souls are on a journey. This isn't our first lifetime. And we've been collecting information, collecting pieces of karma, and learning to grow as we are moving through these lifetimes. And probably this lifetime is maybe one of the most aware you've been, and have more tools of how do I manage my life and what's the best way around these people and these situations. So that's where esoteric astrology is going to be the most helpful when you're seeking out, you know, why. And, you know, I always talk about with my clients, moving from a victim type why, which we may have had in other lifetimes or earlier in this one, of like, why does this happen to me? Into why is this happening to me? You know, why are the relationships always like this? Why do I respond this way to this thing? So, and then astrology can give you that tool to say, this is why and this is how you can shift that and get the lesson out of it. So that's the beginning about esoteric astrology, and we'll talk more as we go. Now, what I'd also like to talk about is just what I'm going to go over in the show. I want to start talking about some astrological events that are going on, like a forecast for August, and then we will talk, of course, about Leos. Yay, all the Leos are here. Happy birthday. And we'll talk a little about Leos from an esoteric perspective. Then I want to talk a little bit about the sun signs in the chart, because Leo is connected with the sun, and we'll talk about how the sun works in your astrological chart. I also had some kind of current events, some interesting stuff that have happened that looking at some celebrity charts and some really interesting astrology pieces there, give you a little glimpse of what that's like in like regular people's charts. We'll look at that. And then I have a few questions some people have asked that have written in, and I'll give you information how to send me questions to later in the show. But first of all, let's talk about some astrological events that are happening here. Okay, today is August 4th, and I'm talking about this, and I just want to kind of go back in time and talk about the weekend. We had some interesting things going on, and oh, I do want to say, and hopefully you know this, that when we look at astrology and make predictions, we live in a solar system, and all of those planets are magnetically affecting us, energetically affecting us. So you know, there's energy from Mars. People often worry about Mercury retrograde, and Mercury is not retrograde right now, but we'll cover that when that happens, and it's no big deal. But planets are always moving around, not just Mercury going retrograde. All the planets except the Sun and Moon from the point of view of the Earth appear to move backwards and forwards. They interact with each other and then with us. And, of course, every person's going to have those astrological events impact them differently, but sometimes there's general things going on in the solar system that are affecting people. So what was happening this weekend was the planet Mercury and the planet Jupiter were next to each other. That's called a conjunction. And then Mars and even the Moon and Mars connected together, conjuncted. And the Mercury and the Jupiter were there, and then the Moon and Mars were there squaring each other. So I'm going to talk about that because Mercury is the planet of communication, and Jupiter is a wonderful planet, and it's fabulous, but it brings good luck and all this, but it can also magnify things. So when Mercury is conjuncting Jupiter, what everybody wants to say is just very important, you know, and it's in Leo, so these two planets are in Leo, so it's like, this is what I want, this is what I need, ah, and that could be very fun and playful and exciting, but then you say, okay, now we've got Mars in Scorpio and the Moon in Scorpio. Mars represents, it's very enthusiastic, but also can represent anger, and the Moon is the emotions. So Leo and Scorpio, when they make that mathematical angle to each other, it's a 90-degree angle called a square. It can make people feel really angry. I mean, just Mercury square Mars, and this only happens for a day or two, but it can be very frustrating for people. And it's a lot about both of those signs, Leo and Scorpio, getting the needs met. And so there was a lot of blow-ups probably this weekend, or even a sense within yourself of like, why aren't I achieving what I want? And just like you're sick of yourself, or people could just blow up at each other because they're frustrated with their own thing. And so that can be a little bumpy start to the month. When I look at all the astrological events of August, it seems like because a lot of planets are in Leo and Scorpio, and then throughout the month they're kind of doing that same thing to each other, it's a great time to work with meditation about what are my desires, what are my true needs versus just flighty needs, you know, maybe deep needs as opposed to wants, you know. And so there's a lot this month about compromising with other people, also having compassion for other people who don't know how to express getting their needs met, people who are constantly frustrated in their life, could be really tense. But it's a great opportunity spiritually to be observing yourself about, you know, they say in some personal growth programs, you know, how important is it? And, you know, is it better to be right or better to be happy, you know? And it's like, okay, you know, what is this something that's just, let's say my lower self? A lot of esoteric astrology is that we're moving from our basic personality self into our higher soul self. So when you have planets like that making that angle like they are this month, it's a lot about what's my lower desires and just, and what's really my soul desire? And how do I surrender some personality desires, or, you know, even just to like prove you're right to somebody? It's like, what about just letting it go, going off meditating, sending love to that person, especially if it's a relationship person you do love, you know, and that we have the most ego-centered fights with those people we're so close to, and say, you know, how important is it that I prove my point and let me create harmony instead? So a lot of this month is about kind of laying down the ego, but still standing up for what are the highest principles. And that's where the discernment comes in with meditation and quiet reflection and, you know, when is, you know, making sure it really is something that important to need to really talk to that person about, or even with yourself, like what gets in the way of me achieving my next goal. So that was that bumpy start there that we had. And somebody said, why are things going wrong? It's maybe the universe saying, you know, again, how important is it? Where are you going? What is your path right now? Because some people have asked me if Mercury's retrograde, when things get confusing, Mercury's retrograde. So it's more about slow down, you know, look inside, see what's happening. That's kind of that message. Let's talk about the full moon that's coming up next weekend, the 10th. It actually happens on Sunday. Let's see. So, again, sun and...
Well, it looks like we may have lost our host, Iluna. Iluna, if you can hear me, we cannot hear you. Okay, we're just going to wait a few seconds for our host to call back in. We seem to have lost her. I just want to let everybody know that you are more than welcome to connect with Iluna Michaels. She actually writes for Body, Mind, Spirit Guide Monthly, and she's actually the author of the horoscopes that we have in our magazine. You're more than welcome to go to BodyMindSpiritGuide.com where you can see the horoscopes, or you can actually look at the magazine, and let's see if this is her. Luna, are you there? Luna?
Okay, I think, yes?
Okay, we can hear you now.
Great, thank you, Courtney. Okay, well, there's maybe an example of this thing I was talking about with maybe the Mercury retrograde. My house phone was shut off. Okay, so we're talking about the full moon. With the sun and moon opposing each other, as they always do, sun in Leo, moon in Aquarius. And then we're also going to have the planet, and again, if I got cut off when I said this is August 10th, the Saturn in the sky is going to be, again, this square thing, Saturn and Scorpio, squaring the sun and squaring the moon. And so again, I'm not going to go over everything that's going on this month, but it's that kind of same theme where that sign of Scorpio is, and when we talk about Leo, we'll learn more about this, you know, Leo is like, yes, what I want, and that Scorpio is like, do you really want it, and you know, putting up blocks about, and it's like, oh, my gosh. So there can seem to be these events throughout the month where you're thwarted and challenged. It doesn't seem easy to go forward. But it is just a collective time of learning patience, and learning compassion for others. I think that's when I was looking over those astrological events. It's like, because when you're on a spiritual path, you do have an advantage over some people that don't even think about spiritual things, that these people don't have tools, and they're going to feel more frustration or more tension. And how can we be patient with those people and say, all right, not a good time to talk about this thing, or don't need to point out their flaws, it's not a good time to approach about that. So a lot of this month is going to be played out like that. There's another event at the end of the month on the 25th when Mars and Saturn conjunct in Scorpio, and there's a similar kind of thing like that. But it is a great time at the end of the month to be planning these goals because, again, you've seen what really is important, what isn't so important. And just the high point of the month, I'm going to move on to our Leos, wonderful Leo people. This is going to be on the 18th of the month. So right in the middle of the month, the planet Venus, which is also in Leo, because when the sun's in Leo, generally Mercury and Venus are in Leo too. And then Venus is going to be right next to Jupiter. And Jupiter, again, this planet of expansion. And it's just what's really wonderful about that happening this month is there's a warmth that is in the midst of some of this frustration with some other people, there's this, Venus is the planet of love and Jupiter is the planet of benevolence and spirituality and graciousness. So there's like a feeling of, I do love these people, or I do love myself. And I wanted to make sure I put that in there, that a lot of Leo is about self-love and needing to appreciate your own soul's gifts. So there's the Leo there, and then when we have these other planets in Scorpio is a tough cookie. And it can bring up a lot of inner voices of you're not worth it. And when we move into talking about Leo and talk about some of that kind of stuff, but for everybody, the theme is seeing your spiritual gifts, knowing how your soul is beyond, can overcome negative messages in your mind or negative things that have happened, and you can let go of just piddly stuff and know, how do I really attach to that inner poise, you know? So I love that that Venus and Jupiter is in there, and maybe doing some meditations this month about gratitude of yourself, writing down positive qualities. I know it sounds goofy, but maybe going to the mirror and saying that you love yourself, or, you know, or I love you, or you're great, or, you know, if that sounds too corny for you. But seeing that your soul's in there, you know, and that you are on the path of learning and opening to greater possibilities. So that was kind of that main theme of the month. Now, I want to move on now to Leos. And also, I want to try to stimulate your mind about astrology. I know you've heard a lot of stuff about Leos or a lot of stuff about astrology in general, probably, if you're listening to this. And some of the stuff I might say is kind of like, what, or stretching you. There might be some terms I use. I'm going to try to explain them as much as possible. But please feel free to ask me questions. I'll be giving out my information in a little while. But, again, I want to try to take you to this next step about astrology and teach you some of these terms of growth. So, okay, so let's talk about our Leos here. And Leo is, you know, here's just this one thing to put aside about Leo. Sometimes a lot of people say to me who are Leos, you know, I hear Leos are selfish. And it's like, Leo is, I mean, I guess if you're just a regular third dimensional person or someone who's just not interested in spiritual growth, yeah, Leo could be seen as selfish, or you could experience that. But Leo is ruled by the sun. And the sun is, and each, by the way, each planet is connected with a sign. The sun is the center of the solar system. And so there is a sense with Leo that they are very magnetic, they're very attractive to people, they're very charismatic, you know, often they are. And when you think about the sun, it warms it. I mean, if there was no sun, we'd be having some problems here. We need the joy that the sun gives us. We need the warmth the sun gives us. So, and on my website, I have videos of each of the 12 signs, and I really go into at length this idea of Leo needing to be able to shine. Now, if that is whatever talent you do, and it doesn't even need to be that everyone needs to know you do it and you have to be like famous for whatever you do, but it's the idea that your light shines unimpeded. And often that's within yourself. A lot of times, you know, Leo kids grow up very wanting to be very like playful and dancing and singing, and some people can say, you know, stop that, or, you know, you're always taking attention away from your brothers and sisters, or, you know, the adults are talking now, quit dancing or putting on a show or whatever you're doing. And there can be an experience a lot of Leos have that I shouldn't draw attention to myself. And so a lot of the journey for Leo is to say, yes, I can. Maybe it's not attention to you, but it's to the God light, to the spiritual light that's coming out. And that could be something very simple, like you, let's say you do needlework, you know, and just when you're doing needlework, you're very talented at it, you feel very peaceful, there's an energy radiating from you. It's filling your house. It's making you feel more that a blessing comes off of you when you go to Walgreens, because you're feeling you're doing what you love to do. You know, it could be a theatrical type talent, like singing or acting, and you want to do community theater or pursue a dream like that. And then, again, you're blessing people in that regard. But there's this idea with Leo that, like, what is your joy? And if you're not doing that thing you feel joyous about and you feel like you're not allowed to, or you're taking the spotlight away from somebody else, it really causes a lot of depression for Leo. So it's one of the things I work with Leo clients is allowing that true joy to come forward in whatever it is, and know that that is a pathway to have your soul radiate from you, no matter what the talent is, you know? And so that, I think, is a huge important thing. Now, Leo is very passionate, very, you know, loving, lovable sign. And it represents the heart chakra, and some of you might know about the heart chakra, those different chakras. So it's that passion, it's loyalty, it's love, and again, the highest expression of Leo in a lot of ways is that self-love, of knowing that you're loving the soul that is working to get stronger and stronger in you every day, and to forgive smaller maybe parts of the personality that, you know, kind of cloud that soul, you know, parts of the personality that are hung up with fears or has resentments and all that, and being kind toward that personality. So the soul is strengthened even more by that compassion to yourself and to your flaws and all that kind of thing. Now, here's where I want to stretch you a little bit. In esoteric astrology, which is the term was coined by Alice Bailey, who works with different fields of esoteric knowledge. But there's something called the seven rays, and for our purposes, maybe even the first three rays we'll want to talk about. And they're, let's say, streams of expression for universal energy. There's, let's say, the first ray is the ray of will. The second ray is the ray of love, wisdom. And the third ray is like mind and intellect and divine mind. So Leo is on the second ray of love, wisdom. And then there's a lot of will associated with Leo too, and stubbornness and things like this, but it's that craving for that pure love to be expressed. So if we can get these Leos, you Leo people out there, to be in loving relationship, especially in loving relationship with yourself, and doing these things you love, and, you know, Joseph Campbell, as you were Joseph Campbell in the 90s, they'll follow your bliss. That's a real important step for Leo. The other thing that's very interesting with the esoteric astrology, Alice Bailey also has this very interesting book called The Labors of Hercules. And Hercules had 12 labors in Greek mythology, and that she takes that each labor represents an astrological sign. And the labor of Hercules that represents Leo is him killing the lion. And, you know, a lot of times in mythological imagery, you can see that sometimes he's strangling the lion or he's wearing the lion pelt. And part of this myth is that, you know, this lion, he's given all these weapons to kill this lion, and he ends up going into this cave by himself with a lion and no weapons and ends up killing a lion with his bare hands, which sounds sort of horrible. But what this really represents on a spiritual level for Leo is that your soul's mission is to dominate the lower type personality, the lower needs, and know the higher, deeper needs of your soul. And so that's part of that spiritual journey, and that's what that myth represents. So when you are on a path of meditation, it's like, again, that whole theme of how important is it? And, you know, sometimes when Leos are frustrated, it's real important for them to be right and to be respected as being right about something. And there can be a lot of wasted energy being frustrated with people not seeing your point or not being respected for certain things. And then that's where you could go within and be pondering and meditating and say, okay, you know, let me instead work as a Leo in a different way instead of trying to dominate, you know, be the lion part. You know, I'm going to get really upset about this. It's like, okay, let me go in and sort of kill him with kindness. Like, go within yourself, radiate that sense of love and that sense of knowing your soul is bigger than this problem, whatever it is. And that can give you some revelations about a different approach to it, to whatever you're struggling with this person or the situation. And so that myth of that killing the lion is really a way to help you overcome a lot of personal struggles and know that you have the strength within you, the idea that Hercules doesn't even use any weapons to do this. He can master himself just with his own, going within, that idea he goes within the cave to do this. You're going within and meditating or pondering or journaling, whatever you choose to do, being in nature, this kind of thing. So I'm losing a point, sorry. So this idea that you have so much more to give. Oh, I know what I wanted to say. I think part of the biggest battle I've seen for a lot of Leos is when I was just saying about proving you're right to somebody else, a lot of times it's within yourself. And that's what I want to say, that there's a lot of negative that could have been past lives where you weren't allowed to express yourself. And it comes down to in this life of beating yourself up a lot, and you have to overcome negative voices within because it's representing some stuff you maybe have had in past lives, and other people could think you're terrific and beautiful and wonderful and talented, and you poop on yourself all the time. Well, part of that struggle represented by Hercules going into the cave and killing a lion with his bare hands is and you're not really killing your lower self, you're mastering that self, the one that is giving you negative messages. You know, it's like, no, I am beautiful, and no, I am worth having a positive relationship or whatever it is. So going within and killing off those, the voices that pull you down and cloud your soul energy. That's one of the main esoteric reasons you're born a Leo. And it's like, somehow we got to get the light to shine, however it is, whatever it is. And again, it usually starts from your own inner voices. So. Okay, so let's move on here, and hopefully that's made sense to all of you. It's kind of funny not having someone say, okay, sure. So, all right, let's talk about now, let me give you my information. Okay, this is how to personally get in touch with me, and I'll tell you what I do as far as readings go. I look at your birthday, and your year. I'd love to have the birth time. Some people are concerned they don't have a birth time available to them for whatever reason, and that's okay. Astrologers can work around that. It can be a little tricky with exact type of predictions when you don't have your exact time of birth, but so many things just from that day and year we can do very, very well, and so don't have any concern about that. But I take your birth information and create your chart and go over what I'm seeing as the prominent, because certain types of things are being highlighted for you right now. You know, I don't want to pick a chart to death when I first do a reading for you, but look at some of the qualities that your soul is seeing as a top priority right now to overcome. Look at relationships, job things, spiritual growth, sometimes health issues, and how that's related to your spiritual growth. So here's my phone number. It is, and this is a cell phone, so you can text to it too. It's 248-583-1663. And my website is alunamichaels.com. You can see videos on there, read my horoscope, make an appointment, and that sort of thing. And please ask me questions. I'm interested to know what you all want to hear me do. Okay, so now, let's talk about the sun sign, because everybody, not everybody's a Leo, but everybody has a sun sign. And I also, that made me think, I want to tell you this, too, about Leo. Everybody, we talk about the sun sign in general. Let's just say, you know, you're a Leo sun sign. Sure, you're a Leo. But because charts are very complicated, you can be Leo in other ways. You can have your moon sign be in Leo. You can have your rising sign, which has to do with your time of birth, in Leo. There's 12 houses in the chart. The fifth house represents Leo. Like, I'm not a Leo, but I have three planets in the fifth house. I'm an Aquarius. But if I didn't know my chart, say, why do I identify with Leo sometimes? Or people think I'm a Leo. Well, because I have all this Leo energy. So knowing your chart, you can see a lot of other dimensions. You might be identifying with this saying, I'm not a Leo, but I understand that. So there's much more depth to the chart than you would think. Now, as far as the sun sign goes, the sun sign is important in astrology, but as we go through my month by month here that I'll be doing, we'll talk about other planets and how they're also important. But it's kind of fun to start it with a sun sign because that's kind of the basic thing people know about. the sun sign, we're talking about this because it does represent Leo. So the sun is your basic personality. In regular mundane astrology, the sun is, you know, this is who I am, this is what it represents, it's basic qualities. And again, if people say, what's your sign, they're talking about that sun sign. But it is just, of course, scratching the surface. And wherever your sun sign is placed in your chart, whatever sign it's in, there's certain angles from other planets that are adapting that sun sign. Again, if we know your birth time, we see what house it's in. So you could be, you know, let's just stick with Leo. You can be a Leo with your sun sign in the fourth house, which is Cancer's house, which tends to make you a little more shy. Or you could be a Leo with sun in the first house, which is Aries's house, and it's like, wow, you know, you're really Leo because Aries is right out there, you know. So depending on where your sun sign is placed, it's going to say, this is what my part of my soul's mission is. The sun, when you move into thinking, when you're on a spiritual path, it becomes, again, about the sun has a lot to do with your desires. And partly, this is what, again, we get kind of is links with Leo, is what are the deeper missions of why you're here? And, you know, something I forgot to mention that's real important with Leo, but this is just going to be an important statement in general, is you read a lot about Leo being a happy sign and very magnanimous and positive and all that. Well, Leo, so moving on to a spiritual path or anybody, there can be a deep sense of depression. And what this has to do with is when you've lived a lot of lifetimes and you're an old soul, and you've got a lot of karmic pieces that you've worked out and you've had a lot of desires you've fulfilled, there can be a sense of like, is that all there is? And it's, you know, maybe there's that word divine discontent, but also even a divine depression. Like, nothing makes me happy. And, you know, I have a lot of clients on the spiritual path saying, why am I not happy? They'll say, I'm not really suicidal, but I don't really care about life. And that is part of a crisis that every soul's journey, you know, your soul being here, that it's like the third dimension, regular life isn't cutting it. You know, I'm making the money. I'm, you know, the most famous actor in the world. I have the best kids ever in the world. Or, you know, I got this degree and I did this and I did that, but I'm still not happy, or I'm at my goal weight, or whatever it is. But why is nothing making me feel okay? And that's often because the desires are shifting. And again, Leo representing desires and the sun representing desires. And saying, okay, now I'm ready to, it's almost like if you're in high school and you get straight A's and you have the hot boyfriend and you're the cheerleader, the head cheerleader, you know, you get into Harvard and it's like, okay, I'm bored. I've done everything high school can do and I'm bored. Now I want to go to Harvard. Now I want to go to college. I want to start something new because I'm just, you know, how that can feel when you're in high school, say midway through senior year, and you're like, oh my God, I got to go in that place and I've already done it all. I don't care anymore. So there's that idea that you're evolving as a soul and eager for another level of growth, what's happening in your soul's mission. And people want to start meditating. They want to start knowing why are things difficult. Again, moving from that victim into being an empowered soul. So, excuse me, there's noise. We've got the garbage truck outside there. So there's this idea that, and of course, if you're seriously depressed, you want to go get a medication, whatever you might need, but it's like, okay, but why am I depressed? You know, you can have the medication, you can see the doctors, whatever, but why? Because you're ready for more. You can't just sit in high school anymore, you know? You've accomplished everything on this level. So now it's about a higher set of purpose, a higher set of desires, and I kind of call it that divine depression. And Leo is such a sign of quest that it's like this necessary new step for you. So I hope that makes sense, because that's just the thing about I'm bored with the third dimension. What's on the fourth dimension? There's more for me. I know there's got to be more for me. But you look around and you go, I don't know what it is or who's saying there is and all that. So it can lead to that sense of, I don't care about anything. What's wrong with me? So that is something that's common in Leos on a spiritual path. But again, it's a common process of anything because we all have a sun sign and we're all saying, well, probably in all these other lifetimes, I've done basic stuff. You know, and it's almost like being born again and you're stuck in high school again. It's like, what is going on? I'm tired of high school. I want college. So the sun in your chart represents whatever sign it's in and planets connecting to it and house placement. You know, what's the next step? When you're looking at a chart esoterically, when you're looking at it in a normal way, it's like, you know, what I've done, what I am doing. But on an esoteric level, it's like, what does my soul want to be doing? How can I get there? How can I get excited about life again? How can I plan new goals? How do I plan new goals and get excited about life in the circumstances I'm in? With this family, with this physical body, you know, this shape and size and age and this, you know, past history of abusive parents or whatever. It's like, how do I take all of this and make it look new and grow spiritually with it and revive how I feel about who I've been and where I'm going? So when you look at the sun sign that way, it from an esoteric perspective, it brings that. And Alice Bailey talks about the sun bringing you to full self-consciousness, and it brings an awareness of the relation of the higher self and the lower self. And again, this idea about the parts that hold you back and how you can master these things. You don't have to be a victim to your negative thinking. You don't have to be a victim to circumstances you see holding you back. How do you become the victor and not the victim, like Hercules going into that cave and slaying the lion and saying, no, I'm in charge here, you know? So that's what the sun, that divine mission is represented in every person's chart because it's representing your little way of being a Leo when you look at the sun sign. So let me tell you a little more about that.
Aluna?
Yes?
Hi, we actually have a caller. I was wondering if you would be interested in answer a question about what you're talking about.
I can answer a quick question. I've got another topic to go on, but yeah, let's say a question as long as it's not a personal chart.
What the caller is interested in knowing is you're talking about Leo, and all the things going on for Leos right now, but she was curious if you could give any advice on how to reach that higher level that you're talking about, moving on from high school and going into that deeper level.
Okay, super. Yes, I can address that. And I think the first step is daily meditation. And that needs to be very individual because every soul's path is individual. So, and I want to say I've been meditating since I've been 19 years old and now I'm 48. I so struggle with basic forms of meditation, with like sitting and stilling the mind. It's like, I'm an Aquarius. I can't still my mind. And there's ways that you need to find that center you as a soul. Some people it's being in nature, going mountain climbing, being by the water, being in the bathtub. I really love being in the bathtub. I get very serene just surrounded by water in the bathtub. Some people like to chant to make their mind more focused, and even saying something very simple. And you know what would be a great thing if you're a Leo? And I tried this for a while at one point. I never felt guided to do this. I'm like, oh, my God, this is so weird. But I just said, I love you. And I thought, am I saying I love you? Me? Am I with someone else? Let me just go with this. And sometimes I even do it while I was driving, but not like falling into deep meditation. But when my mind felt quiet, I would just think, you know, and there was nothing in there, nothing to think about necessarily. I think, I love you. Or just sitting and saying, I love you. I love you. And like, what comes up with that? How does, you know, is that your high, and the way I kind of came to see it is the higher self saying that to the lower self. Getting more in touch with this deeper sense of compassion for yourself on this journey, on this tiresome journey of life after life after life. Starting with that compassion, and that could be a great start, just like, I love you. If that doesn't work, it could be Om or anything, but having a daily meditation routine starts to increase your intuition. It starts to, you know, when Alice Bailey there in that quote was talking about being aware that there's this self and a lower self. And it's that there's a way out. I think that's the thing that starts to happen. It, you don't so much want to see yourself as cut in two and all this, but in a way you are. It's like, oh, I'm not trapped. Oh, there's part of me that's stuck in this. But, you know, when they talk about being aware that you're an actor in the play, you know, that if you are, you know, playing Hamlet in a play, and you have to do that every night on Broadway, you want to go home and remember you're not Hamlet, because Hamlet's life is kind of terrible. So you don't want to go home thinking you're Hamlet. You do Hamlet 100% when you're on the stage, and then you drop it, and you're like, ah, I'm me. So there's something about meditation that remembers, I'm not that person who's horribly stuck with no options. It's like, I am separate from this. I am able to start guiding my way out of this. I am connecting with even higher, you know, angel presence or God consciousness that is guiding me, that could be the director of the actor in the play. You're still the actor playing Hamlet, but you've got some direction, you know. So it helps, by beginning to meditate, you start to realize you're not stuck and there's more to it than this. So that helps to see and develop your sense of your higher self, and you'd be very surprised how your intuition develops through meditation. And again, even if you take 5 minutes and say, 5 minutes a day I'm going to say I love you, or 5 minutes a day I'm going to, you know, go to the ocean or look at a picture of the ocean or sit in the bathtub, or, you know, and a lot of people say, like, oh, I've got kids, or I got this and that. I mean, it's funny about the bathroom, because, well, some little kids are going to barge in the bathroom, but it's a place you can fairly be private, and no one's going to really ask, why are you going in the bathroom? Just going to the bathroom. But if you can go in there any time and just say, I'm going to breathe and say, I love you, or Om, or I know there's more. God, I'm open to know more about my soul. Whatever you're choosing could be those little stolen moments that could be meditation. But the point that you are dedicating, even if it's 5 minutes if you can, or 2 minutes, and saying, I want to know more. You know, I'm ready to know more. I'm ready to have my mind open up. You'll see things start happening. You'll meet certain people. You'll find certain books. You'll have awarenesses. Keep a notebook of ideas that may seem sort of weird. You might start having awareness of past lives. That you know, don't have to be dramatic past lives, but just keeping notes. You could have dreams that start to show you things. But I think one of the most important things, too, with that meditation practice is having compassion for yourself. You have been stuck in a round and round and round and round and round situation with lifetimes and problems and circumstances and whatever, and not knowing the way out and having compassion. You've made certain choices. Maybe you made bad choices, but you didn't know what else to do. You did the best you could. It sounds kind of a lame thing to say, but to have that compassion for the self, and so that you feel you deserve to grow more. And you deserve to be expanded in this way. So that is a wonderful way to start. Is that a good answer, Courtney, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's an amazing answer, Elena. Thank you so much for answering that question.
Oh, you're so welcome. Okay, I'm going to maybe lighten things up a little bit and talk about something interesting. I was thinking, let's, you know, have some fun here too. And I'm not a Justin Bieber fan, but I am a fan of souls evolving. And I thought, oh, I heard this situation with Justin Bieber and Orlando Bloom, that they were in Spain. And I guess, I don't know, Justin Bieber was acting a certain way, and Orlando Bloom punched him in the face. There was some sort of horrible altercation. And I thought, you know, I kind of was thinking to myself, that would be kind of interesting to talk about a current event. I knew nothing about their two charts. I know a little bit of Justin Bieber's chart, but I looked at the two charts, and I was like, wow, this is really good to talk about today. It's very interesting, because it goes back to talking about what was going on with these transits and these energies that are happening in the sky in August, and just also give you some insight into some soul evolution things. Now, let's talk about Justin Bieber's chart, because, of course, these people who are famous, they're really having, and here's somebody who maybe later on in his life is like, you know, what next? You know, I did all that and I'm still frustrated and not happy. But So I'm going to give you a little astrology lesson here. Okay, so Justin Bieber is a Pisces, and he's born with the planet Saturn conjunct the Sun. So Saturn is a planet of maturity, and it's also a planet of kind of holding yourself tight. It's a little uptight. And again, you can see in his life, okay, he comes in, he's super, of course, Pisces is musical, so he's super musically capable. And he's thrust as a very young person into this great fame. So making him have to be mature, business, you know, working, that's very Saturn, not really getting to be a kid maybe as much as he would have liked. And so when people have Saturn conjunct the Sun, when they're born, they have a sense of duty and a sense of the weight of the world on their shoulders, you know, sometimes. So you can see when he was younger, it's like he looks like he's so put together and, you know, buttoned up, and that's very Saturn conjunct the Sun, you know. Then he turns 18 and probably, you know, starts rebelling and acting out and all this stuff. We're seeing him like, what's going on with this guy? Well, to me as an astrologer, it's like, wow, you know, he's curtailed a lot of energy a lot of teenagers normally would have expressed or rebelled, and the Saturn on the Sun didn't let him rebel. So then we've got his chart here with the planet Uranus squaring his moon sign. Now, this is a whole, this is why charts get very interesting, because the Sun conjunct Saturn person is very controlled. But Uranus is a planet of chaos and rebellion, very opposite of Saturn. And it's like the complete alter ego of Saturn, you know? It's like, I'm not going to do anything you tell me. And the Sun, of course, is our part of it, strong part of personality, but so is the moon. So when you look at his chart and go, oh, he's got Uranus square the moon, it's like, there's the rebel. There's the one who's like, you know, I don't care anymore. And it's interesting to me astrologically to see, you know, he's just moving into this other aspect of this chart of the moon square Uranus, which is confrontational. And it's like sometimes when people have a chart like that, they seem a little imbalanced in the way that, how do you go from being, everyone's so surprised, he was such a nice kid, and now he's doing this crazy stuff. It's like, well, one part of the chart didn't get to be expressed. You know, the moon square Uranus is his rebellious streak, or the, of course, Uranus is very creative, so he's being creative and he's traveling and all that is very moon square Uranus, but it's obviously like, I don't know, like the toothpaste tube being squeezed one way and you don't let it come out the front where it should go, it'll like burst a hole in the tube and go everywhere. So it's like the energy is going everywhere. So when I pulled up this chart, because I had looked at it once a long time ago, and I thought, wow, I didn't notice that moon Uranus. That gives a lot of awareness why he seems so radically losing his mind. People are like, he's losing his mind or something. And the poor thing has had a lot of hard angles to his moon sign, so it really has brought that out. Now, what's interesting about this event that happened this weekend, I was talking at the beginning about the Mercury and Jupiter squaring the Moon and Mars. And so what was happening for Justin there, let's talk about this, let me see, was actually the planet Mercury, which is the communication planet, was making a really weird angle to his Mars sign, which has to do with anger. And it's just, it could definitely be a mouthing off, a, you know, annoying other people, feeling really, you know, whatever, full of himself, or just saying, you know, stuff shooting out of his mouth that shouldn't shoot out. So it's like, okay, he was on edge that day. And then I said, well, let me look at the planet Mars chart. And I went over to look at him, and he has Moon in Scorpio. So there's his emotions, and he's got the planet Mars, which is, has a two-year orbit, so once every 2 years we have Mars go over our moon sign. And it's like, Mars is anger, and Mars is impulsive, and the moon is your emotion. So it's like, not a good day to mess with somebody. So I thought that is a really interesting conflict there, that they would meet up when they're having these Mars and Mercury things. It's like, so Justin wasn't really having a Mars transit, but he was having an angle to his own Mars. And then Orlando was having the Mars transit, so I thought, wow, that's some really interesting astrology. And when you look at Mars transits, they're very quick. But they show us, if you are on a deeper path, it's like the transit comes and goes. You could just say, that guy was a jerk and he punched me in the face. It's like, but what is this having to do about maybe making me look at my behavior? You know, so hopefully with Mars transits, when people get upset with us, it's like, instead of blaming the other person, because obviously Orlando Bloom shouldn't have hit him and all that, but it's like, what is this telling me about where I need to go in my life? You can, I don't want to say extend the Mars transit, but look at it more deeply. And so I thought astrology was very interesting. Orlando happened to be there. But let's just talk about Justin Bieber and another light here. He has Scorpio as his rising sign again, because we've got his birth time. We know that rising sign. And Scorpio is ruled by the planet Pluto. And when Justin was born, Pluto was in Scorpio. So he was born with Pluto right on his rising sign, in its own sign. It's very intense. A lot of people, a lot of famous people deal with Pluto. A lot of everybody deals with Pluto, but because Pluto deals with immense fame and money and power, a lot of power issues. And it's very heavy. And what's interesting about his chart is that there's a heaviness associated, with all this power, you know. What's interesting now is that with Saturn being in Scorpio, over the next number of years, starting in, I wrote it down here, probably starting in the fall, about November, from November 2014 through 2016, Justin's going to have a lot of Pluto transits that are going to really help him mature and come back to a better way of being a Saturn person. But it's almost like, people say, oh, he's normal again or something, but it's such an important journey for him to express this Uranus stuff. Because, let's say if he doesn't go through this period of time, maybe he could have an illness, like develop a serious illness later in his life or something. It's like this energy needs to come out. And no one's letting him do it. Now he's starting to do it. And it's going to be probably coming to a close, or he's going to be managing it better or realizing, how to channel his energy in a new way. But it's like almost an important soul process to be able to, like a pressure cooker, this pressure needs to be relieved. And this experience could be a turning point, or I don't know, but it's like over the next few months, I think he's going to start realizing, how do I balance Saturn and Uranus? How do I balance having all this power, having all this money, having all this impact on people, impact on young people, and still have an identity as an individual? That's the hard thing about his chart, is that he carries so much collective energy, and that can be so burdensome, like even being a role model or whatever, and still be myself, you know? And so it's an interesting soul. It'll be interesting to watch him develop as a person and see he's got some other important stuff to do beyond just being a singer or wearing pants with sag or whatever. He's got a lot more to go here. But I thought it was very intriguing that his chart had these splits in it, because a lot of people will say to me, I'm this way and I'm that way, and, how come my chart does this? I'm a Capricorn, which is supposed to be uptight, and then I have some other part of my chart says I'm crazy. It's like, well, because we're people, because we're souls who are very, very complicated. So I know it seems like Justin Bieber's a joke or he's a silly kid or something, but this is a powerful soul with a whole lot of energy that it's like, whoa. I look at some charts and think, wow, that's tough. I don't know if I'd want to carry all that energy, but I wouldn't want to be a huge famous person like that anyway, and to that level and have everyone examine your every move. But it'll be interesting to see how he works with Saturn as it moves forward over the next few years. And, I also don't want to say, I said something about him getting sick maybe or something. It's like energy needs to be expressed, so the fact that he's acting out and letting energy go is probably very, very beneficial to him, even though it looks ridiculous to us and that he's just being stupid. It's like this is a good outlet, and it's also a good way to learn. But the pendulum swinging, I'm very Saturn-y and now I'm very Uranus-y, and now I'm going to blend them. And that's going to be a big mission for his soul's evolution. So that's sort of a fun thing, but also a deep thing if you want to look at it that way. And So I'll tell you my contact info again, and then I wanted to have just another question if maybe Courtney has a call, but I do have some other questions people ask like I did the last 5 minutes. So my name is Aluna Michaels, and alunamichaels.com is my website. My cell phone, the quickest way to get me would be 248-583-1663. You can text there. My email is on, you can just do aluna@alunamichaels.com or contact me through the website. And I do personal readings, and we can look at your soul from this deeper perspective as well. And even immediate things going on we're going to cover, but look at it from a deeper perspective. Now, one of the questions that was interesting I just want to cover is that I had a Leo client email me, her name's Mary, hi Mary, if you're out there, about Jupiter being in Leo right now and how that affects Leo. So just quickly, Jupiter has a 12-year orbit, and I've mentioned it before because we're talking about some of the aspects it's making this month, but Jupiter is a planet of expansion, and I mean, if there's a, quote, good planet, you know, it's seen as Jupiter. It brings good karma. It's like a planet of reward and benevolence and positive, happy. It's just an easy flow of energy generally with Jupiter. It can also magnify things. So you can, you know, it'll also get rid of some stuff you don't want because it magnifies it. But for Leos, it's really nice when Jupiter's in your own sign for anybody. So it can create a sense of happiness and positivity. It's a great time, we're talking about spiritual growth, for Leos to be meditating, because Jupiter also has a side to it that's not just goofy, but it's the spiritual seeker. So it's a wonderful time to be meditating on your positive strengths. And thank you, God, for my ability to be a compassionate listener or to be a great, you know, musician or cook or whatever. And seeing your good points and your good qualities and focusing on gratitude is a wonderful thing when Jupiter's in your sign as well. Now, Jupiter's in a sign for 12 months. So if you're a late Leo, let's say, you wouldn't have Jupiter exactly working with you till later. But that's working with your sun sign. And remember, you can have moon in Leo. You might not even know it. So you're having a Jupiter working with your moon, and then, hey, this is great, you know. Jupiter is always happening in our own chart someplace. So when Jupiter moves into a new sign, it brings a blessing to a different area of our chart. So everyone's always having Jupiter work with it. But for Leos, it generally is a really good pick-me-up that the Leos are getting the Jupiter. It just moved in there the third week of July. So that's a fun, blessing time. And again, as much as you can, focusing on gratitude and being open to more. Like if you are feeling down in the dumps, it's like, show me more about my soul I've never seen. Expand me. And praying for that sense of expansion that Jupiter gives is a wonderful way to go. So, Courtney, are any quick questions? Just the last 2 minutes, anything? Or
no, but I just want to say congratulations to you. Your show is amazing and had a lot of callers on today who are listening and a lot of people in chat who are listening as well.
Great. And I want to express if you have any topics you want me to discuss, any questions that have come up. You know, and even, again, some of these examples of people in the media, sometimes they're doing this to show souls a lot of things about themselves. They're, you know, used spiritually for that manner. So if there's any silly, it seems silly, but you're interested in it, maybe we can look at that person's chart and see what that means, what they're teaching all of us with their transits. So anything that's of interest to you, let me know, and I'll try to work it into the show if I can. And thank you all for listening, and we'll look forward to being with you again next month, which will be the first Monday of each month at 10 a.m. Eastern with my girl Courtney here. Thank you for everything, Courtney.
Well, thank you very much, Aluna. We want to wish everybody a happy Monday.
Bye.